From KMOX Sports.
Okay, boys, here we go.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Those bit swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Here we go.
Now, Matt Pauley on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, man, let's get going here.
Here we go. Let's go.
We do welcome you in. It is time for a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX on a Wednesday evening. We take you all the way until 8 o'clock tonight. And after we get done here, something that we talked about a lot yesterday, we are going to play the audio version of yesterday. Myself, along with Tom Ackerman, Kevin Wheeler, and Bernie Miklas, we did a video show that streamed on YouTube and on our different social media channels. We've taken the audio portion of that. It's really a breakdown of everything that we heard from the Cardinals earlier this week and our thoughts on it. We are going to play that for you during the 8 o'clock hour. So hopefully if you didn't catch the video version, or if you did, you want to hear it again, we'll have that for you tonight at 8 o'clock. Lots to get to this evening. In about 9 minutes, we're going to talk with one of our favorite baseball journalists out there, Scott Miller, contributor to the New York Times. He's always been based out on the West Coast. He is going to be at the Padres-Braves game tonight. We'll just get his thoughts really on everything going on in the postseason. A wild day once again. The first team to advance out of the wild card round was the Detroit Tigers. They continue their fantastic second half run. This is a team that was selling at the deadline. They sold off Jack Flaherty, and then they just took off. And now they are into the divisional series after sweeping through the Astros, winning today 5-2. And then something we are monitoring, the Royals and the Orioles. That game is currently in the top of the eighth inning, and the Royals hold a 2-1 lead. So if Kansas City can win that game, they will then advance to the divisional series themselves. The National League game's coming up tonight. Mets and Brewers in Milwaukee. That game's going to get started in about 15 minutes or so as the Brewers are playing for their playoff lives. They're down 1-0 in the series. Braves and Padres tonight as well, as the Padres lead that series 1-0. Here's what we got coming up on the program today. So Scott Miller's going to join us now in about 7-8 minutes or so. Later on in the hour, we'll talk with Jacob Sasimo. He is part of the sports team over at Channel 4. We'll get his thoughts. He was covering the press conference, like much of St. Louis media. He was covering the press conference earlier this week that the Cardinals held. What were his thoughts on that? In the second hour, we're actually going to talk with somebody who's really, really smart. We're going to talk with somebody who is a doctor, and we're going to get into concussions, because once again, this is something that has come up in a very big way. We're seeing a lot of concussions right now in the NFL, and there continues to be more and more studies about this. And we're going to talk to a doctor about that coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. We're going to do that about 7:20. We'll play back some of what Blues head coach Drew Bannister had to say earlier today as training camp continues on. I am the first person, the next person, all the way to the last person to tell you that results in preseason, in spring training, all those things, that the results, I'm not worried about the results. That you get your work in, and that's what you need to do. Maybe that's more true about baseball than other sports, and I'm a baseball-first guy. But I'm getting a little bit worried about the Blues. Now, there's still a lot of guys who are playing, and they're you know, who may not be key members of the team, and look, the lines are, there's still a lot of line adjustments and things like that, but they lose last night by a 3-1 score. It was not an especially good performance last night. They're going to play again tomorrow against Dallas, but they're starting to run out of time to put everything together and to be where they want to be coming out of the preseason. They have 2 preseason games left, tomorrow and on Saturday, and then they are going to open up the regular season a week from yesterday when they head west. They're going to play their first 3 games on the road this year against Seattle, San Jose, and Vegas before they open up the home portion of their season on Tuesday, October 15th, when they match up against Minnesota over at the Enterprise Center. But it's not looking great right now for them. Again, it's preseason. You take everything in the preseason with a grain of salt, but we will hear a little bit of what Drew Bannister had to say earlier today as he's mixing some line combinations up and talking through what it looks like and how he's feeling with the start of the season less than a week away. So that's everything that's going to be coming up on the program today. We'll get into the Bally deal. That's been kind of the big sports story today. Obviously, you can always listen to Cardinals games right here on KMOX, but the way you watch Cardinals games likely to be changing. What does this really mean? Like, it's a very complicated situation. And even if you hear the long explanation, it's still complicated. But I will do my best to kind of go through it and go through all the potential results of what's happening. There's a lot of different things that could happen. I don't think baseball was expecting, in fact, I know that baseball was not expecting to be dealing with this today, but in many ways, it's good that they're dealing with this now as opposed to a few months from now with the season just about set to get started. So I'll definitely share my thoughts on what this Bally TV deal means. I'll try not to get into the minutiae of, you know, bankruptcy hearings, but what this actually means to fans and how it will impact you. We'll try to get into that coming up later on in the program as well. Again, if you want to chime in, you can do so 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. Tweet at me at Matt Pauly on air. Up next, Scott Miller joins us. We'll talk all things playoff baseball with him in just a moment here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
We do continue on here on a Wednesday night, keeping you updated on everything going on in the baseball playoffs. Earlier today, the Tigers advance by beating the Astros 5-2, winning that series 2-0, and we are keeping a close eye on the Royals and Orioles. Top of the eighth inning, Royals lead 2-1. If they hold on to that lead, they advance as well. Later on, Mets and Brewers, Braves at Padres. One person who's going to be at the Braves-Padres game, one of our favorite people to be able to talk baseball with, he is Scott Miller. You follow him on Twitter at ScottMillerBBL. Scott, appreciate you taking some time with us today. How are you?
Hey, Matt, real good. How are you?
Doing all right. What's been your general takeaway on this first day and a half of playoff baseball? It's fun to see teams like the Tigers go on this kind of run in advance. It looks like the Royals have a good chance of advancing as well.
Yeah, it does. And it has been fun. I think a couple of the quick takeaways so far, maybe the sun is finally set on the Houston Astros empire. You know, I mean, they've been so good for so long, but they're just not the team they were. And it's interesting because, you know, here the Tigers are. They're the young bucks in October. They've only got one guy, Matt Beerling, on their postseason roster that even has any playoff experience at all. So they went into Houston, which is like built a house on the playoff foundation for the last decade. And the young upstart Tigers take Houston down in Houston. You know, you can kind of see the Tigers' window opening and Houston's closing. The road teams keep winning. The only home team so far to win was San Diego over Atlanta last night. So that just reinforces the, you know, the home field advantage in baseball is not quite as important as it is in football and basketball. If Kansas, another takeaway, if Kansas City does win and hold on to win over Baltimore, I don't think any of us would have had three AL Central playoff teams all in the division series when spring training started.
No, and it has certainly been fun to watch that. Going back to Detroit for just a second, because you talk about that window opening. The window opened after the trade deadline. They were sellers at the deadline, and then they took off. What did you see from them as they found a second gear after, in many ways, they had already said that they didn't think that they were going to be a postseason club this year?
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, I think probably the important distinction there is the front office said they weren't going to be a playoff team by their actions, but A.J. Hinch and his coaching staff and the players never said we're not going to be a playoff team. You know, once they got rid of the veterans like Jack Flaherty, traded them away, you know, they turned the keys over to the kids. And, you know, A.J. Hinch, you know, Hinch and his staff, Joey Cora, et cetera, say what's one about Hinch for the Houston cheating scandal back in 2017. But he's one of the best managers out there. And, you know, he and his staff, you know, they coach the young players. They taught them. They developed them. And they also mentally coached them. I mean, A.J. asked, you probably saw the clip after the Tigers clinched. After the Tigers clinched, they A.J. referred to it. He said, hey, I asked you guys back in August, what kind of team do you want to be? and AJ told the Tigers on the clinch night, I can see now what you wanted to be a playoff team. And, you know, all the young talent they've got there, Torkelson, Riley Green, Cabrera, Matt Beerling, obviously Tarek Skubal is going to win the Cy Young Award. When you've got a building block like him as the foundation of the team, you know, that gives you a good chance in any short series. And, you know, the Tigers are, I think, it's almost like once they traded the veterans away, the kids, they were playing without any pressure, and they excelled, and they took to everything, and they also pitched very, very well. You know, the young pitchers pitched well, and Hinch and his staff handled them well.
You'll watch the Padres and Braves tonight. If the Padres win, they will advance, being they were the only home team to win yesterday. You're talking in St. Louis, where Mike Schilt is a very popular person to this day. Many Cardinals fans wish that he was still the Cardinals manager. What has Schilt done this year with the Padres to allow them to put together a 93-win season? And certainly, they seem like a team that could go on a deep playoff run.
Yeah, you know what? He's been a great fit in San Diego. The players really play for him. And I think what he does is so well. It's not necessarily the in-game X's and O's as it is managing the team in the clubhouse and in batting, in all areas, even outside of the game. I mean, he's fine in the game too, but what he's done is, you know, any friction from last year's team, any egos, he's great at team building and getting the players to buy in. And the Padres, that's the biggest difference between this year and last year. But, you know, last year, their then-manager, Bob Melvin, he and A.J. Preller clashed. Schilt and Preller are more on the same page. But, you know, Schilt, you know, it's the win-every-day mantra. It's figure out what we can do to win today. It's keeping a cohesive clubhouse. It's getting the players to buy in. And part of that is setting egos aside and moving runners over and doing a lot of the little things it takes to win. The Padres have done a lot better job with that this year. And, you know, I think overall, you know, whatever. I mean, you know, situational hitting, you know, he's got a team that they've converted into a bunch of contact hitters and line drive hitters, and they don't just rely on the home run. And, you know, some of it's old school baseball, the way that, you know, I mean, he talks a lot about learning the game under George Kissel, and you can see George Kissel's spirit in what Mike Schilt does.
And I don't know how much you've paid attention here over the last few days of what's going on in St. Louis. Obviously, you're busy covering the playoffs, but the announcement was made earlier in the week that John Mozeliak is going to spend one more year as the director of baseball operations, and Heim Bloom's been brought in. He's going to oversee a complete redevelopment of the player development system this year before moving in to the big chair next year. The Cardinals have indicated that payroll is going to come back next season. We don't know how much they're going to lower it, but it's going to be lower. Obviously, the TV stuff that was announced today, that's all part of this as well. So just from a view from 50,000 feet, somebody who's been around this game a really long time, Scott, what's your takeaway on these really major changes that are about to occur here in St. Louis?
You know, I've liked John Mozeliak for a long time. I think he's done a really good job over the years. Obviously, the last few years have not gone as well as the Cardinals would have preferred. I think everything you just laid out, everything that's said in St. Louis, I think it all sounds good. I think the talk is good. I'll sit back and see if they can put the talk into action. Heim Bloom did not exactly cover himself in glory in Boston. I know a lot of it was John Henry the ownership didn't want to spend the money anymore. Trading away Mookie Betts, you know, I mean, Heim was the guy that got stuck doing that. It was an organizational thing, and that's going to hurt the Red Sox, I think, for a long time. I mean, you know, especially a homegrown player, you can't keep a guy like that. You know, Bloom, the Red Sox just didn't take off under Bloom. He made several mistakes. We'll see in his second attempt after he takes over for Mozeliak, how much he's learned and if he can figure some things out. But I think the jury's out big time on the next few years at St. Louis. I'm not overly impressed. Obviously, what I've said with what Heim's done in Boston, cutting back the payroll is fine. I mean, obviously, they do need to overhaul their development system and, take a break maybe from spending so much money until they've got good young talent and develop that young talent, and then you're ready to supplement it with free agent key pieces. But I think it's going to take a while.
He is Scott Miller. You follow him on Twitter at Scott Miller BBL. He's one of the best baseball writers you're ever going to come about. Scott, appreciate the time. Enjoy the game tonight and the rest of the playoffs, and hopefully we'll catch up again real soon.
Look forward to it. Enjoy the playoffs. Great time of year right now.
Awesome. Very good. That's Scott Miller joining us here on the program, and we appreciate him taking a moment or so with us. Back-to-back guest, our friend Jacob Sersosimo. You see him on Channel 4. He was at the Cardinals press conference earlier this week. I'm trying to spend this week talking to as many people as possible who were at the press conference. We did that a little bit yesterday just to get their take. So everybody has different, like Scott Miller's take on Heim Bloom right there, very different take than my take on him. I'm excited about Bloom. I think the deficiencies in Boston are connected to ownership, not to him. I look at what he helped build in Tampa. I even look at what he built in Boston in terms of their player development system and their farm system and where they're ranked now compared to when he got there. So I am a Heim Bloom guy. But Scott brings up legitimate points about his time in Boston. So everybody's got different takes on things, and that's what makes the world go round. We'll see what Jacob Sersosimo thought about the press conference earlier in the week. He joins us in just a moment. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it here on a Wednesday night. We'll keep you updated on what's going on in the baseball playoffs as the Royals and Orioles are going to the bottom of the ninth inning with the Royals holding a 2-1 lead. If Kansas City gets the final 3 outs here in the bottom of the ninth, they will advance to the next round of the playoffs. Unfortunately for Cardinals fans, they are not in the postseason. Earlier this week, we did get a press conference. That's the extent of, I guess, postseason action this year. A lot was said, and one of the many media members who is there covering it, he does a great job on Channel 4, sports anchor and reporter. He is Jacob Sersosimo. Jacob, appreciate you taking some time with us today. How are you?
Thanks for having me, Matt. I'm great. How are you, man?
I'm all right. So as I was leaving the press conference on Monday, I saw you and your photog looking around trying to find Cardinals fans to get a reaction to the news of the day. I don't know how you did on that, but I'm sure you have spoken with people. What has been the reaction to what the Cardinals announced earlier this week for you?
Well, we didn't get a reaction on camera because the people we talked to didn't want to be on camera because of their reactions they had to me. A few of them were just shoulder slumped is really, I think, what we can look at when talking about what the Cardinals announced on Monday. I think fans, the ones at least I've spoken to, were kind of looking for more of an immediate decision, I think is the right way to put it. I used a John Mozeliak soundbite the other night that said, this is not a rebuild, it's a reset. And I've had someone ask me, what's the difference? And I looked at him and said, I really wish I had a better answer for you. But I think fans were maybe looking for something a little bit more immediate and quicker. The way it looks, it could take a little bit more time. Now, I know the Blues are kind of doing that with the retool and everything, but I'm not sure we got a great answer as to a timeline for anything, which I understand from a Cardinals point of view. Why would you put a timeline on anything? But I think the fans that I've spoken to from the time that this was announced to now, and really the ones that I've actually seen on social media as well, it seems like they were looking for more of a quick fix or an immediate move other than, this is what the future could look like.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of people say that they walked out of there with more questions than answers, and I understand why some say that. For me, I got answers, but the question that I still don't have an answer to, and they were asked it, and they chose not to answer it at this point, was when they talk about salary going down for next season, are you talking about trading away big money contracts and players who are still contributors to this team? Or are you talking about letting guys like Kyle Gibson and Lance Lynn walk away and filling those mid-level spots with cost-controlled players who are coming up from the minor leagues? Because those are two different routes. One is more of a teardown. The other one is a let's let the farm system start providing some more production for this team. And it's probably a cross of the two, but until we really know what direction they're going for next year and how much they're going to cut payroll, I feel like it's hard to really know anything coming out of that press conference for this upcoming season.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, like you mentioned, are you going to pretty much tear it down to the bones and let, you know, the young guys really build this up? But if you do that, you also have to understand that you're probably going to go through a couple years of not great records, potentially. Historically, that's how it goes. And if that's also the case of where they're going, then do you really, from a fan's point of view or even someone that covers them, do you think maybe why didn't they do this sooner? You know, the Yadier Molina and the Albert Pujols, that was a couple of years ago. Once they leave, now are fans going to start wishing that this would have happened a couple of years ago so they could have already done that? Or do they feel like they, even though they didn't make the postseason the last 2 years, so do they look at it as far as we just delayed this process even more and now they're going to go through that? This offseason is going to be really, really telling in the fact of what they're going to do with Nolan Arenado, Sonny Gray, some of those bigger contracts. Because if they do break this whole thing down, then the big question comes in, why now and not a couple years ago?
Yeah, and look, it's not my job to speak for the organization. I kind of understand how they get into this spot because you talk about that final season with Pujols and Molina. That was a 93-win season. They feel like in that moment they were wrong, but they felt like in that moment that they did enough for the 2023 version that they would be able to have a very good year. That turned out to be completely wrong because they won 71 games. And then this past offseason, they took the Band-Aid route with the Gibsons and the Lins and guys like that, thinking that that would be able to get them back to what they were in 2022. And it was a lot better, but it wasn't totally right. So I feel like the backs were against the wall, that they had to do something somewhat major at this point. But at the same time, if you squint and are fair about it, I also think you can see how they got to this point.
Absolutely. And it's also really hard because you look at what they did and they're an 83-79 team. They're above 500. And, you know, in the middle of the summer, when you look at this team in July, especially before that All-Star break, you're looking at a postseason team. So it's not like it was last year at all. This year was different, and they had pieces in there. They just didn't come together pretty much after the All-Star break and down the stretch, which if you look at it in that point of view, which I'm not trying to like sugarcoat this at all. Like I'm not trying to make it sound like it was way better than maybe what it was. But what I am saying is like, you're right in the fact of it a couple years ago, they don't have to break it all down. Of course, hindsight's 20/20. You look at it now and you think maybe that should have been the case. But this year wasn't like a terrible year. They're not the White Sox, for crying out. Like they had a poor season compared to Cardinal standards, which I understand that part of it. But they're still above 500 team. They just couldn't get it done down the stretch and make the postseason. And for St. Louis fans, that's not good enough, which I completely understand. And I understand where this fan base is coming from. It's just curious on now where they go from here. Do they break it all down all of a sudden, or do they try to stick it out with some of these guys and believe they can maybe squeak into a postseason spot next year or do something very similar to what they did this year? How that leaves the fan base, I have no clue, but I know the ones I've talked to aren't necessarily thrilled with not playing October baseball.
Well, the Kansas City Royals just beat the Baltimore Orioles 2-1, so they take that series 2-0. Kansas City last year was 56-106. This year they go 86-76, so a very similar record to the Cardinals. They're three wins better than the Cardinals this year, but they win this first round of the playoffs, and what the Royals did is they've got a very young team, and they beefed up analytics and baseball operations and things like that, and that had an impact on them this year. Those are many of the things that we don't know how many things the Cardinals are going to be able to do to impact the Major League roster next year, but if they do amp up that baseball operations and amp up the analytics and the data department, they've got an opportunity to maybe get more out of players at the Major League level than they have gotten in the last 2 years.
Yeah, the hard part with the Royals is, like, I don't know how realistic a one-year turnaround is. But you mention it like that, it sounds like, you know, well, they did this in 1 year. Maybe that can be a realistic standard for a lot of teams. I'm not 100% sure on how realistic that is for teams, but I understand exactly how they did it, and I think that's the way that baseball is going. So the way that the Cardinals are going is the correct direction. Like, you have to go towards this operation side. You have to go towards this technology through the minors. This youth movement, I get where they're going with it. You have Mason Wynn kind of the head of that youth movement. That is a good position to be in if that is the direction you're going. And for them, that seems to be the direction they're going. So I'm very interested to see how this develops, you know, when we talk to them again during winter warm-up, mm-hmm. right? Like you mentioned, a lot of people had a lot more questions than they did answers when they left the press conference on Monday, which I understand, but this is going to have to start working throughout the next few months. And when we get to winter warm-up, there's going to be more questions, especially for me of, okay, where are you as far as this process? Did you spend that money you talked about? Who did you hire? What's the technology you guys are going for? How are the minor leagues looking at this standpoint? Because you've had a couple months to do that. And I'm really looking forward to that point because I think we're going to have a lot more answers for Cardinals fans, especially right now where a lot of them are just confused on where is this money going?
Yeah, it'd be great if we got to winter warm-up and they said we have hired 15 new individuals that are going to work in our baseball analytics department, and we've hired 9 new people who are all going to serve as roving coordinators throughout our minor league system, and we've created all these positions. That, again, it kind of goes back to how we started this conversation. The exact details of the plan were not given, and I think for some Cardinals fans are just not going to be happy because John Mozeliak and Oliver Marmol are still in their positions, but others, I think if more details would have been given, they might be more willing to hop on.
Yeah, and I just hope that, like, the Cardinals have those details that they know of, they just didn't tell us, because I think that's the fear of the fans is, like, they didn't really say anything about those details because they don't know what those details are. You know, a lot of people know that I worked in Springfield, Missouri before this, covered the Springfield Cardinals. I'm getting texts from people in Springfield saying, what's this mean for Springfield? What's going to happen in Springfield? How's this going to change things in Springfield? And I'm texting them all back and saying, I have no clue. I don't know what this means for Springfield. I don't know what this necessarily means for Memphis. And we didn't really get answers in that press conference. But like I said, I'm just hoping that, you know, and I think fans are hoping they had answers. They just weren't telling us, other than they were just laying this out and they don't have answers. I don't know what the answer to that question is, but I know there's still a lot of confusion, not only here, but in those cities that have these teams on, okay, what's next for the team that's here and how are you going to change what's here?
He is Jacob Sersosimo. You see him as an anchor and reporter on Channel 4 KMOV. Follow him on Twitter at Jacob Sersosimo. That's Sersosimo. Jacob, always appreciate the time. It was good to see you early in the week. Hopefully we see you again real soon.
Yeah, appreciate it, Matt. Thanks, man.
You bet. That's Jacob Sersosimo joining us here on the program. We'll take another break, come back, and wrap up hour number one. Some big news for St. Louis earlier today in terms of a big sporting event that's going to be coming to town. We'll give you all the details on that in just a moment. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Starting to wrap up hour number one of the program. In hour number two, we're going to hear a little bit from Blues coach Drew Bannister. Also going to talk with a doctor who recently published a research study when it comes to concussions in the NFL and concussions for football players. This is a topic that seemingly has really come back around recently. And right after the 7 o'clock news, I'm going to dig in a little bit on the news that we heard today regarding the future of TV broadcasts for the Cardinals and other teams around Major League Baseball who are on Bally Sports. So we'll get into that coming up in just a little while as well. Wanted to mention, St. Louis continues to be a big event sports city, and it was announced today as the St. Louis Sports Commission, along with the University of Missouri, worked together, and they are going to host the NCAA Division I Finals for Wrestling in 2027. The NCAA announcing over 240 sites for D1, D2, and D3 sports championships for 2026-27 and 2027-28, and St. Louis gets one of them, which is the wrestling championship. Such a great event. If you've never been, because I'm sure a lot of people listening are not exactly, huge amateur college wrestling fans. It is incredible. Now, admittedly, I was a terrible high school wrestler, but I was a high school wrestler many years ago. But I remember I was there for the first one that St. Louis hosted back in 2000, and I loved it. The thing I'll always remember about that, Brock Lesnar, who's now a WWE guy, or he was a WWE guy, I don't really know, but I know he's a big name. He was at the University of Minnesota, and he won the heavyweight championship. So that was the final match in 2000, and it was so cool, the energy and the excitement that went along with him. I think it was shortly after that he signed a deal with WWE, but he was dominant. It's so such a cool event, and again, St. Louis coming through in a big way. They're going to continue to host a lot of NCAA events here moving forward. We heard earlier Michael Calhoun had an interview, and the bidding process for this came at kind of a tough time because St. Louis is already set to host some events in the next cycle. So giving them those, like basketball, giving them a basketball event when they're already on deck to have basketball at some point in the next couple years, it's a little bit tough. But nobody supports this event, wrestling, the way St. Louis does. I believe they've hosted it now 10 times. And as far as I'm concerned, it's just something that should always be in St. Louis on an every year basis. And it's going to be back this year. So congratulations to the wonderful, wonderful people over at the St. Louis Sports Commission for putting this together. And it's great that the wrestling championships are going to be back in St. Louis. And that's going to be in 2027, and certainly something that is worth taking a look at. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back after the 7 o'clock news right here on KMOX.